John chapter 7, as we move through the Bible. This morning we'd like to draw your attention to the 12th verse of John chapter 7, where we read, "And there was much murmuring among the people concerning Jesus. For some said, he is a good man. And others said, no, he deceives the people." Jesus came in order that men might be united with God. Sin had created a breach between man and God. Sin had separated man from God. And so Jesus came to give his life a ransom for sin in order that man might again know fellowship with God. But though he came to unite us with God, it is interesting how his coming brought division among men. Some were saying, he's a good man. Others were saying, no, he deceives the people. And in verse 43 of John 7, we are told, "So there was a division among the people because of him." Some saying he's a good man, others saying, no, he deceives. Now, it's obvious he can't be both. If he is a good man, he can't be a deceiver. If he is a deceiver, he can't be a good man, but he has to be one of the two. So there was a division among the people. Those who were saying, well, he's a deceiver, and those who were saying, oh, he's a good man. Those that were saying he was a deceiver were basing their judgment on false information concerning him. In verses 41 and 42, we read, "And others said, this is the Messiah. But some said, shall the Messiah come out of Galilee? Hath not the scripture said that the Messiah is of the seed of David and out of the town of Bethlehem where David was?" Now, those who were saying that the Messiah was of the seed of David and had to come out of the town of Bethlehem were correct. The scriptures did say that. But what they didn't know was that Jesus was of the line of David and that he was indeed born in Bethlehem, as we read in the other Gospels. So that they're believing that he was from Galilee, not from Bethlehem, was false. They were making their decisions against Jesus Christ that was predicated and based upon false information. They thought they knew the facts. They said, we know this man, where he comes from. No, they didn't know him, and they didn't know where he came from. They only thought they knew the facts. It is so tragic to see people making bad decisions on the basis of false information. Have you ever done that? I've been guilty of doing that. There are many times when people come to me and they give me partial or incomplete information in order that I might make a decision. And sometimes I'm foolish enough to go ahead and make a decision on their partial information. And sometimes I make decisions on wrong information. And thus, your decision is oftentimes wrong because it's been predicated on false information. These people have made a decision concerning Jesus that he was a deceiver, but that decision was based upon false information. Should they not be forgiven? Should it not be overlooked, the decision that they made, because after all, it was premised upon false information? The Bible tells us that sins of ignorance are sins nonetheless and must be atoned for. And a person is not innocent just because they base their decision on false information. A person is responsible to search out the facts and to discover the facts in order that he might make a good judgment call. Can you imagine people making up their minds on something so important that their eternal destiny is being determined by that decision, but making that decision without really seeking to ascertain whether or not they've been told the truth or a lie? There are people who have made decisions concerning Jesus Christ who have never read the Bible through. And thus, their information is incomplete at best and many times false at worst. Because like these people, there was a prejudice against Jesus by some of the leaders, and thus they were disseminating false information concerning Jesus, which could have easily been disproved, but they didn't take the time to look at the issues for themselves. I must always question whether or not a person has good judgment when he salts his food before he tastes it. I've been with people and the dinner is served and they say, please pass the salt, and they start to salt it before they've ever tasted it. Now, how do you know but what the cook didn't spill some salt in the food and that it's already too salty? Now, if a person takes a bite of food and then says, please pass the salt, I can respect that. At least they've tasted it and they realize it's a little flat, it needs a little zest to it, and so they're asking for the salt. And I can respect that. And I can respect that here's a person of good judgment. It's like my grandkids, when I try to get them to eat something that is different, they'll say, oh, I don't like that. And that upsets me. That's not good judgment. They haven't even tasted it, and I'll often object. How do you know you don't like it? Taste it and see. I don't like that. And they've made up their minds because it maybe doesn't look attractive to them. Or it isn't advertised on TV. And many times their judgment is made on false information. They've just seen the product on TV, and they think it's going to be great, and sometimes they're disappointed in that too. Jesus in verse 24 said, do not judge according to appearance, but judge righteous judgment. In other words, let your judgment be right. Don't judge on the basis of appearance. Because many times, something isn't what it appears to be. And judgment is made on false information or on incomplete information. In the end of the chapter, as there is a discussion among the religious leaders concerning Jesus, and some are speaking of him condemning him. One of the leaders named Nicodemus spoke up and says, "Does our law judge a man before it hears him? Shouldn't we at least give him a chance to defend himself? Shouldn't we be willing to listen to the whole story? Do we judge on half-truths without actually examining the facts for themselves? I cannot respect anybody who has made a judgment concerning Jesus Christ who has not at least read through the New Testament, at least the Gospels, to learn what the Bible has to say about Jesus Christ. And if you have really thoroughly searched and then you've made your decision, I'll respect the judgment that you have made. But not until you have really looked at all of the facts. Not just hearing what others have said about the Bible or others have said about Jesus. I've heard some of the weirdest things that are said concerning the Bible. Well, the Bible says, and they'll go off on some weird, dumb tangent that isn't the Bible at all. It doesn't say that in the Bible. And I'll often challenge and say, just where does the Bible say that? What chapter, what verse, what book of the Bible do you get that from? Well, everybody knows it's in the Bible. I said, I don't know it's in the Bible, and I've read the Bible through several times. Where did you find that in the Bible? And they have to admit, well, they heard that it was in the Bible. And thus, they're making judgments upon hearsay. But even in the courts of law, hearsay is not valued as evidence. What does the Bible say? Read it. Make your decision. You're more apt to have a correct decision if you will search for the facts. These who said he was guilty of deceiving the people were themselves guilty of bias. They hated Jesus, and thus their judgment could not be relied upon because they were prejudiced. In verse 7, Jesus said they hated him because he testified of them that their works were evil. Because he challenged them and their Pharisaical ways. Because he called them hypocrites and showed the hypocrisy that existed among them. Because he was pointing out that their whole religion was one of outward show to impress people, but in their hearts there was bitterness and rancor and striving and things that were opposed to God. They hated him because he had exposed their evil. But how can you be true in your judgment of a person if you hate them? Your judgment is bound to be colored by the hatred that you have for them. There are many people today who hate Jesus. But if they were pressed to explain why they hated Jesus, they'd have a hard time telling you. Interesting, isn't it? People who are so biased and so prejudiced against Jesus, they hate him, and they really don't know why they hate him. They've made a decision concerning Jesus, but the decision has been based upon the prejudice or upon misinformation, and thus, how can you really know that your decision is a correct decision? Jesus said, the reason why they hate me is because of their evil works. Jesus taught that we should love one another. And they have a lot of bitterness towards other people. Jesus said we should be kind and forgiving. But they're angry. They want to hold their grudge. And so they hate Jesus because of the way he said we were to live if we are to please God. Now, those that were saying, oh, he's a good man, they had good cause to believe that. The words that Jesus spoke had touched their hearts. Have you ever noticed how simply profound the words of Jesus are? So simple that a child can understand. So profound that the scholars are baffled. What he said was simply profound. John tells us that they were amazed at his teaching. And they wondered how he knew all of those things without having gone to university. There in verse 15. Later on in the chapter, when the officers were sent to arrest Jesus and to bring him back to the tribunal, when the officers came back empty-handed, they said, where is he? Why didn't you arrest him and bring him here? And they said, oh, never has a man spoken like this man. His words had touched their hearts. But not only did his word touch their hearts, but they were convinced that he was a good man by the works that he did. The two disciples on the road to Emmaus, when Jesus joined with them, and they were describing Jesus to Jesus, they said, he went about doing good. That was their summary, their evaluation of him. He went around doing good. He opened the eyes of the blind. He unstopped the ears of the deaf. He caused the lame to walk. He cleansed the leper. He went around doing good. And the people saw what he did, and they were impressed by his good works. He went around forgiving sinners of some of the grossest sins. He was a good man. And because they had seen the works, they had come to the conclusion, he's a good man. He said that if you didn't believe him, believe for the very works' sake. He said, the works that I do, they testify of me. To Philip, he said, believe that I am in the Father and the Father is in me, or believe me for the very works' sake. When Nicodemus had come to him back in chapter 3, he said, we know that you are a teacher that has come from God. No man can do the works that you do unless God is with him. So those that were saying, oh, he's a good man, they were saying that because their hearts were touched by his words, or their lives were touched by his works. In John chapter 8, verse 30, as he spake these words, many believed on him. They believed because of the words that he spoke. John 2, 23, now when he was in Jerusalem at the Passover in the feast day, many believed in his name when they saw the miracles which he did. He's a good man. Why do you say that? Oh, the words that he speaks. Oh, the works that he does. It is interesting, his words and his works drew men to believe in him, but it also caused others to hate him and to want to destroy him. In the next chapter, we find them so angry at his words that they take up stones to stone him. In verse 19, he spoke of them going about to kill him because of the work that he did. In verse 23, he said, "You're angry with me because I made a man completely whole on the Sabbath day." The work that he did in healing that lame man at the Pool of Bethesda on the Sabbath day had created an anger that was leading them to desire to murder him. And thus they said, "He's a deceiver." Because he helped someone on the Sabbath day. Healed a man who had been lame for years, a beggar, restored that man on the Sabbath day. And thus they said, "He's a deceiver." But that's what it was predicated upon, the work of healing the man on the Sabbath day. Today, we still have his words, and we still see his works. He continues to speak through the Word of God. He continues to work through his disciples. And today, there are men who have listened to the words of Jesus, and they have seen the work of Jesus. And they say, "Oh, he's a good man." There are others who are saying, "No, he's a deceiver." Men are divided still over Jesus, and you are in one of the two groups. You are either those who have been impressed by the words of Jesus and you have observed the works of Jesus, and you say, "He's a good man because of all of the good works." There are those here today who were once plagued by cancer, and Jesus has healed them. People who have been plagued by many different diseases, and Jesus has healed them. There are many here today whose lives were once destroyed by alcoholism, and Jesus delivered them. They were bound by drug habits, and Jesus set them free. He still works today, and we see his works. But yet there are those who say, "No, he's a deceiver. That's only all in their minds. It was psychosomatic. It wasn't really a real problem. Just something in their brain. He's a deceiver." And they deny his works. And they dispute his words that they don't even know. They don't know what Jesus said, but they know that they don't believe it. They dispute it. In what camp are you? Are you among those who are saying, "Well, he's a good man"? Or are you among those that are saying, "Nah, he was a deceiver"? You say, "Well, what difference does it make?" Well, it makes a lot of difference. It's the difference between light and darkness. It's the difference between life and death. The Bible says, "He that believeth on the Son of God hath everlasting life. He that believeth not the Son of God shall not see life, but the wrath of God abides on him." What you believe concerning Jesus will determine your eternal destiny, whether it be in the glory of the kingdom of God or in the abyss of darkness forever. But yet, it's more than just a good man. Because if you acknowledge that Jesus is a good man, and you do not surrender your life to him as Lord, then really you are in worse shape than the man who says he's a deceiver. You see, the man who says that Jesus is a deceiver could himself be just ignorant of the truth. His is a sin of ignorance, sin nonetheless, but one of ignorance. He has been deceived. But the man who says, oh, he's a good man, acknowledging that Jesus was a good man. If you do not surrender then to the lordship of Jesus in your life, your sin is one against knowledge, and thus it is one of rebellion. I know that he is a good man. I know he's the Son of God, but I don't want to submit to him. That's transgression. The other is missing the mark because of ignorance or whatever. But this is a deliberate transgression. It's a deliberate refusal to acquiesce to the knowledge that you possess. And thus, to whom much is given, much is required. Your condemnation will be greater because yours is a sin against light. Jesus in Luke chapter 12 speaks of those that knew the will of God but did not according will be beaten with many stripes, though those who did things worthy of many stripes because they didn't know will be beaten with few. Unto whom much is given, much is required. So it can't just be, oh, he's a good man. The issue is, have you surrendered your life to that good man? Have you accepted him as the Lord of your life? Do you live by his words? Do you seek to obey and follow his commands? That's the issue. Shall we pray? Father, we believe and we know and are convinced and persuaded that Jesus Christ is the Son of God, who came to this earth and bore the guilt of our sins, who rose again and is at the right hand of our Father in heaven, making intercession for us, and that he's coming again to receive us unto himself, that we might know the joy, the glory, the blessing of the eternal kingdom. We believe he's a good man, more, the Son of God. And we receive him today as our Lord and Savior, as we submit our lives to his authority. Lord, bless, we pray, the word of God to our hearts today, and may many come to believe and to receive the lordship of Jesus in their lives. In his name we pray. Amen. Shall we stand? He that knoweth to do good and doeth it not, the scripture said, to him it is evil. That's sin. You see, sin isn't just doing a bad thing. Sin can be not doing the right thing. And the right thing is to surrender your life to the Lordship of Jesus. And if you haven't done that yet, I encourage you to do that today. I would encourage you to go back to the prayer room as soon as we're dismissed, because pastors and counselors will be back there to pray with you and to bring you into an understanding of what it means to be born again, to have the Spirit of God alive in your life as you follow the Lordship of Jesus Christ. And so I encourage you, make your decision to follow him. More than just a good man, he's the Son of God who died to save you from your sins.